Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY25 Utkarsh Small Finance Bank conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there'll be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Renish Bhuva from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you.
Yeah, hi. Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Utkarsh Small Finance Bank Q3 FY25 earnings call. On behalf of ICICI Securities, I would like to thank Utkarsh Management Team for giving us the opportunity to host this call. Today, we have with us the entire top management team of Utkarsh, represented by Mr. Govind Singh, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Pramod Kumar Dubey, Executive Director, Mr. Sachit Kumar Sameria, CFO, Mr. Amit Acharya, Chief Risk Officer, Mr. Alok Pathak, Head of Assets, Mr. Vivek Kashyap, Head JLG Sales Microbanking, and Mr. Puneet Maheshwari, Head Strategy and IR. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Govind for opening remarks, and then we'll open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you very much, Renish, and good evening to all of you. Thank you, everyone, for taking out time to attend our Q3 FY25 earnings call. As you're aware, the operating environment remained challenging for the microfinance sector in quarter three FY25 on account of higher borrower-level leverage and credit supply tightening for underlying borrowers following guardrail norms. While at the same time, we continue to see good traction on our franchise expansion, healthy growth in deposits, as well as in the secured loan portfolio. In terms of business performance, our deposits have grown by around 33% year-on-year, in line with our plan to 20,172 crore. Deposits growth was led by growth in retail term deposits, which grew by 41% year-on-year. Our CASA deposit ratio was 19.7% as on December 24, largely at the same level of 19.6% as on September 24, and CASA plus retail term deposit ratio improved from 68.4% as on September 24 to 70.1% as on December 24. As for outlook on growth, we expect deposit growth to remain higher than credit growth and expect consistent decline in our CD ratio. As regards JLG book, we are seeing stabilization of collection efficiency in X bucket. Overall stress level is also peaking out, and we expect the environment to improve further in the current quarter and first quarter of next financial year. Overall assessment of JLG portfolio and operating environment is as follows. Collection efficiency is stabilizing in X bucket. It improved to 98% in December 24, and in the current month till February 15, it is closer to 99%. Trend in net increase in PAR level is declining month-on-month, and in the current month till February 15, there is no increase in net PAR 1. It was declined marginally from month-end January 25. We expect PAR level to start declining firmly in the next one to two months. On account of higher SMA buckets as on December 24, fresh slippages could remain high in quarter four FY25. However, as regular bucket collection efficiency is stabilizing, we expect SMA book to normalize in quarter one FY26, and fresh NPA generation would reduce meaningfully then. We are seeing improvement in collections from OD book. Expect meaningful improvement in collections from OD buckets from quarter one FY26. While we continue to focus on collections in the current environment, we expect JLG disbursements to normalize by quarter two FY26. Microbanking individual loan comprised 8% of our microbanking loan book. It is focused on graduating better profile JLG customers with good repayment track record. This portfolio is behaving much better on collection efficiency and asset quality. Disbursement in quarter three FY25 were higher by 7% quarter-on-quarter and 9% year-on-year. Individual loan portfolio is expected to grow faster. As for quarter three FY25, microfinance disbursement remained lower in quarter three FY25 as we continue to focus on collections, and as a result, microbanking loan portfolio has declined by more than 1,200 crore vis-à-vis March 24. Growth in non-microbanking portfolio, which is primarily secured lending, continues to remain healthy, in line with our expectation at 42% year-on-year. MSME loan portfolio has grown by 58% year-on-year to 3453 crore. Disbursement yield has also improved by 130 basis points over same quarter last year. Within this, we are also seeing traction in micro LAP portfolio, wherein disbursement yield is around 18%. We see good growth potential for this product in our geographies and given our strong franchise. Housing loan portfolio has grown by 36% year-on-year to 855 crore. Disbursement yield has also improved by 50 basis points over same quarter last year. C and CV loan book increased by 35% year-on-year to 1134 crore. Within this, we are focusing on increasing share of used vehicle, which has increased in disbursement from close to 5% earlier to 20% now. We are strengthening our presence in BBG lending. Entire portfolio is secured against immovable collateral. This book has grown by around 60% year-on-year to around 800 crore. We have also launched a secured credit card, which is progressing very well. Overall, we are also seeing much better traction on cross-sell on both sides, asset products, that is MSME, housing and micro LAP, through our liability focus DB branches, and deposit account for our asset customer, essentially more products per customer. On account of decline in disbursement in JLG, overall gross loan book growth moderated to 16.2% year-on-year as on December 24. As for outlook on loan book growth, we expect JLG disbursement to normalize sometime around quarter 2 FY26. Expect good growth in MBBL portfolio, that is individual loan. We are expecting healthy growth trend to continue for non-microbanking portfolio, which is largely secured loan portfolio in quarter 4 FY25 as well as FY26. In line with our strategy, share of secured loans in our portfolio has been increasing. It increased further from 34% as on March 24 to 41% as on December 24 and is likely to increase further. We continue to build our banking franchise and open 61 new branches in quarter 3 FY25. Overall, 140 new branches in 9 months of FY25, taking total branch network to 1028 branches as on December 24. With current year expansion, we have significant large franchise which is adequate for our growth target, and hence we may not need much expansion of our branch network in FY26. From asset quality perspective, key factors which impacted collection efficiency and asset quality in microbanking, microfinance segment currently included over-indebtedness level of borrowers, restricted credit supply in JLG lending segment, and bandwidth issues on account of higher overdue buckets. We are strengthening our collection team as well as efforts and expect collections trends to improve. We have added around 350 more people in our microbanking team in quarter 3 FY25 and almost around 2,000 people in 9 months of FY25. We are reducing caseload per staff as well as we have collection team of microbanking with more than 800 people. We are also focusing on improving critical processes like center meeting discipline and other processes. Additionally, on an ongoing basis, we continue to split our large MB branches to maintain better control. As I mentioned earlier, we are seeing stabilization of collection efficiency for X bucket as well as improvement in net power accretion. This is likely to improve further in current quarter and quarter 4 and FY26. Overall, primarily on account of weakness in JLG book, our gross NPA increased from 3.88% as on September 24 to 6.1% as on December 24. In near term, our primary focus area include maintain X bucket collection efficiency at around 99%, net reduction in PAR level, activate maximum OD clients even if these clients remain in OD but should remain paying customer, bring center meeting and other discipline back in JLG lending, and improve on our customer connect and overall improvement in collection efficiency and asset quality of JLG portfolio. We have also registered with CGFMU for credit guarantee for unsecured JLG portfolio. Further optimization of disbursement yields and profitability in non-microbanking portfolio. We have set up system, processes and people and are well placed for healthy growth in non-microbanking businesses as well. Building a more granular liability franchise and further improve on CASA plus retail term deposits. Our profitability during the quarter was impacted by stress in JLG book, because of which credit cost was high, as well as there was higher interest income reversal. Profitability is expected to remain under stress in quarter 4 FY25, while we are seeing peaking of stress in microbanking. We are not giving any specific guidance on profitability and asset quality in current environment for quarter 4 FY25. However, we will share our outlook as well as guidance on both for FY26 at the time of our quarter 4 FY25 numbers. We are holding floating provision of 190 crore as on December 24, of which 173 crore was created for unforeseen risk in JLG portfolio. We have requested Reserve Bank of India to allow using this provision in current stress time. As on December 31, 2024, we had surplus liquidity of more than 2500 crore, which is higher than our usual liquidity requirement. In line with our strategy, we have been reducing our CD ratio, which declined to 92% as on December 24 from 99% as on December 23. And if we net off refinance borrowing from advances, CD ratio declines to 86%. We don't have any short-term borrowing on our balance sheet. We expect our CD ratio to decline further. We are also undertaking a business transformation project to make our technology, architecture and business processes future-ready for our growth plans. As far as reverse merger part is concerned, with the holding company with the bank, we are on the track. With this, we can move to now question and answer section. Thank you.
So would you like to begin the QA session?
Yes, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We have the first question on the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm audible, sir.
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, thank you very much, sir, for the opportunity. So just wanted to understand first up, I mean, you mentioned in your opening remarks that overall stress level has peaked out and we do expect, even you are seeing some stabilization in collection efficiency in regular buckets as well as overall. Can one assume, I mean, in terms of your credit cost or provisioning, which we did about 400 crores, 420 crores this quarter, is that the peak and going forward quarter and quarter one should see reduction in your provisioning?
Yeah, it's going to be around that. That's what our presumption is. It will not increase from here.
Okay. So maybe fourth quarter it will be around that, but from first quarter we expect some significant
yes.
reduction?
That is what is anticipated. That's where all the efforts are going to see that this number obviously is on a downward trend.
Okay. So from first quarter onwards we can expect some significant reduction. Fourth quarter with around same levels is what one can expect, right?
Yeah, it's very difficult to give the exact numbers, but certainly yes, you know, it will start reduction from quarter four itself. Because, you know, we are seeing good stabilization, but it may not be significant. And as you yourself mentioned that quarter one, we should see a much bigger, you know, you can say decrease in this number, the way we have seen trends in last few months now.
Understood. That's helpful. And my second question on your growth, I mean, what sort of, credit growth you are looking for this year? I mean, this is just a fourth quarter left.
So as you mentioned that we have, you know, this time we are not, you know, giving any specific guidance for a simple reason that JLG growth is, you know, currently is not certain right now, and we have seen that happening. We are seeing a good growth in the non-JLG business, and the way we have seen around 40 to 50% growth in the non-JLG. So that will remain on the same trajectory. JLG growth is, you know, right now uncertain, so we are not able to give any specific guidance for quarter four.
Understood. And JLG forms how much percentage of your MFI book?
So JLG will be close to now 51%, you know, as far as of the total portfolio. JLG around 51% of our overall portfolio.
Achha, 51% of overall portfolio, not the MFI portfolio.
Yeah.
Okay, so majority would be JLG only, right? Because your 60% of your portfolio is right now MFI only.
So within MFI, about 92% is JLG and 8% is individual.
Fair enough. And are we focusing towards this shift towards more individual and reducing JLG?
Yes, certainly yes. Certainly yes. In fact, that, you know, we started this journey a few years back. Obviously, you know, because microfinance was there with us for a long time. So, individual within microfinance and the non-microfinance book, I think both are growing well and we have seen good growth during last few years. The trajectory will continue. So, bank will keep focusing on, you know, the non-JLG businesses and the other other business segment as far as the lending part is concerned.
Yeah, that's very helpful, sir. I mean, that would be it from my side. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We have the next question from the line of Kiran, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good evening. So, I'm an individual investor. So, my question is, now that we understand that people had over-leveraged under the microfinance business, so what are the precautions that we are taking to prevent this in the future? Because I'm sure a lot more number of small finance banks are coming up, so people now can get loans, with the mobile apps where they distribute the loans. How are we going to prevent this that has happened in the future? What has happened, but I have been on the call for even the other small finance banks like Equitas and EQN. Every other small finance bank is facing the same problem. But, I mean, what are the precautions is what I want.
Yeah. So you must have seen the biggest change that has happened during last few months is there are new guardrails given by the industry SRO. And as per that, you know, currently you can't lend to more than four loans. There can't be more than four lenders to any borrower. So that is the new guardrails from the MFIN. And in fact, from 1st April, they are moving to three lenders overall. In past, though there was a, you know, there was a guidance which says that you can't lend more than this amount, but number of lenders was not restricted. So now there is that restriction in place. It was put from 1st of August and you must have seen the stress has started building from 1st of August because you can't lend, you know, the way it was there. You can say over-leverage is no more allowed. Everyone does through a credit bureau check and then sees that this is not the situation. And it is being monitored by the SROs. There are MFIN and SADHAN. There are two SROs which normally all the people who are working for microfinance, you know, sector, they adhere to. So such situation is not expected to happen in future. The way, you know, it has been, I can use the word regulated or the way it has been protected now. So such situation is not likely to be there in future. This level of, you know, you can say over-leveraging part. And I must tell that I think all the players are following this and SADHAN and MFIN are very closely monitoring this. Not only that, even the RBI, you know, whenever they are talking to banks and NBFCs, they are also monitoring this closely.
Okay. So I have a follow-up question to this. So basically, do you have, a setup where, when you want to lend money to somebody and the microfinance, do you have a, you know, setup where you can actually see how much has this person borrowed from how many banks? What is the amount? Is there any setup or do you coordinate with other small finance banks on this?
No, certainly. Certainly it is there. See, the current setup is that for any disbursement, you have to check the credit bureau record of the borrower. So as I mentioned earlier, people are not checking how many people have given loan to this person. That has been restricted and that is being checked by each and everyone. In fact, this is through a system check itself. There is no manual intervention and most of the players, including us. So if the person has taken, say, 4 loans and he comes to us for 5th loan, the system itself, you know, rejects the borrower for next loan. So that system is there, and it is across, in fact. I mean, when I across means all the people who are into microfinance lending space, they are adhering to that and they are submitting that data to the credit bureaus. So that system is there and it is being used by people. And now norms are also, you know, tightened so that, you know, these are adhered to 100%.
Thank you. So one more question is, there was a talk in some of the previous calls. I don't remember when exactly this was. But then there was talk that, the Utkarsh might apply for a universal banking, right? Is there any progress on that, or are we even pursuing becoming a universal bank?
So in past also we have mentioned that yes, obviously universal bank makes, I can use our more sense because there are some benefits which are available to my universal banks. Having said so, I think as a small finance bank, you can offer all type of products and services, and you are, you know, there is no difference per se for the end customer angle. So as and when we become eligible for this, I think we certainly would like to evaluate that for sure. But as of now, that is not on card right now.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. All the best.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Ashley Sanjay from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. Good afternoon. Sir, a data keeping question first. Can you share the total percentage of your microfinance portfolio where the borrower has borrowed from more than 4 lenders in total and more than 3 lenders in total?
So we had shared this last time as well. So in terms of borrowers, roughly about 13% is 4 or 4 plus. Basically Utkarsh plus 4 or more than 4. And Utkarsh plus 3 is close to about 12%.
Okay, so 13% and 25% by borrower count.
Yeah, together. Yeah.
Okay, but can you share the same as a proportion of portfolio?
So proportion of portfolio is largely similar, Ashlesh. It is not materially different from, let's say, a share in terms of count.
Sir, and a qualitative question now. If I look at the slippages, especially in the last couple of quarters, they have been quite elevated. When you go and try to collect from these borrowers, what exactly is preventing you? Are you firstly able to locate and meet these borrowers? And what is preventing you from collecting?
So normally what is happening, you know, Ashlesh, because the numbers are large right now, so it is taking extra efforts. And in generally, you know, the design is for center meetings. The moment you have to go door to door, it takes much more efforts and much more time. So generally customers are available. I still feel that, you know, I mean, in some cases, obviously you may not find the customers, but largely customers are available. It is, you can say, you know, inability of the players to reach out to all these people in time. That was an issue. And gradually if we start having that center meeting become more regular, that is easier. That we have been making efforts to. It's very difficult to say exact number, but at least 70 to 80% center meetings are happening regularly. So we are able to meet large number of customers at that place itself. And gradually we are seeing that more and more customers are starting paying. So, you know, 30%, 35%, 40% customers are paying regularly. Sometimes it may not be the full installment or full overdue. So I think they are also gradually becoming regular in that sense, regular in payment, may not be regular as far as their account is concerned. So gradually this number will come down, and I think it will become more manageable to meet these customers on a regular basis and do it. I would still want to mention that, you know, we don't foresee much challenge that customers are not available. There may be a few, you know, some small percentage of customers who may not be available or who might have migrated, but it is very, very small segment. I think large segments, because of our own inability to reach these people in time, was an issue, which is getting addressed by, you know, more and more discipline. At the same time, enhancing our own teams also. As I mentioned, now we have 800 plus team only for collections, which looks into 61 plus bucket. And also we have got close to 400 people as our general or normal center meeting people. So actually our number of clients have come down, but our employee base has actually gone down by close to maybe 1,000 to 1,200 during this period.
Understood, sir. Sir, few more data giving questions. If you can share the slippages for the quarter by segment. Secondly, if you can share what is the current PCR in the microfinance book and the provision policy in microfinance, that is the second one. And lastly, if you can share the trend of X bucket collection efficiency in 2Q, 3Q, December, January, February.
So fresh NPA generation overall were about 738 crore, out of which 650 odd crore was micro banking and balance is not micro banking. In terms of provision cover, overall provision cover is, I mean, we see for unsecured it is about 46% and for secured it is about 38%. I'm talking about excluding floating provision. And from a provisioning policy perspective, so we start for unsecured or let's say for a microfinance portfolio, we start with a 40% provision cover. And once account becomes NPA, and then every quarter we increase it by 15%. So by the time an account remains in NPA for a year, we would have 100% provision cover.
And the last one was on X bucket collection. 2Q, 3Q, December, January.
Your voice is feeble.
Yeah, can you talk a little louder, Ashlesh?
Yeah, sorry, sir. I was saying if you can share the trend on X bucket collection efficiency in the September quarter, December quarter, and the last few months.
Yeah, Puneet, go ahead.
Just 1 second, Ashlesh. So if you see X bucket collection efficiency, I mean, as Govind sir said, in month of February, we were close to about 99%. If we look at January, we were still more than 98.5%. December, we were close to about 98%. And September, October, November, we were close to in a range of 96 to 97.5%.
Okay, perfect. Thanks. Those are all the questions, sir. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Ashish.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Mayank from InCap. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon, sir. So I have one question. Like we are seeing that continuous provisioning is happening from last two quarters. So is this going to continue in future, or why can't we do all the provision in one quarter so that in future we must be ensured that we are not going to see that type of provision in future?
As we mentioned that we are making a provision which is higher than the IRAC norms, and we have a bucketing, provisioning norms, both board approved and which is, as I said, accelerated in any case. So, we have to be in tandem, with the slippages and the natural behavior. I think probably in a fairness point of view, you may seem to be sounding being conservative in prudent, but I think it is also appropriate to do that as it matches the reality, and there is always efforts to get the collection, to get the recoveries. So in any case, to assure you, one, that we already have a grade of provisioning which is higher than the IRAC norms.
Okay, we are moving from microfinance to non-microfinance. Definitely in future we are going to see yield would not be that much, because in microfinance we see a lot of company used to earn a lot by interest and everything. If we move everything from microfinance to that particular banking and secure part, so in future, are you planning, if situation improves in future, so are you planning to move again to microfinance, or your future will be in the secured part only?
No, there are two aspects. One, our microfinance will remain there. It's not that we are completely moving out of microfinance. The share of microfinance will come down, and you must have seen during last 4 or 5 years also, each year the share of microfinance comes down by around 5-7% each year. And the share of the secured and the non-microfinance book has been increasing. And I think the way we have been talking, the same trend will continue, because during the last 4 or 5 years, we have gotten new number of new verticals as far as lending part is concerned. I do take your point that, you know, the yield for JLG is certainly higher than when you talk of a secured book. But at the same time, you know, in terms of provisioning requirement, in terms of my overall cost of fund will also come down. There will be efficiency of overall operations of the bank also. So I think these will also play in the whole thing. In fact, obviously, currently we are passing through a very different type of situation. The entire industry is passing through a different situation. Otherwise, there are not large dip in the NIMs and other ratios while we could reduce our JLG share by around 6-7% on an year basis. So we don't expect that it will be much difference in that. In fact, we are also looking at some of the high yielding products like Puneet mentioned about the Micro LAP, where we are able to get around 18%, and it's a secure type of product. So I think in mix and match plus our operational efficiency will go up, our cost of funds will go down. The difference may not be that large. Yeah, certainly there may be some you can say decline in the NIM over a period of next 2 to 3 years time, but this will get offset by other positives, other operational efficiencies.
Okay, thank you, sir. So this was from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Mohan Raj, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good evening. So there are two questions from my side. One is, like, can you give me the the state-wise situation, because there are news that in the south side, especially in Karnataka, like there is a new ordinance and which is impacting the customer's sentiment to repay the loans. And like, so will there be any spillover effect on that, on the portfolio, like when we go into the next financial year? And the second question is, so you have mentioned like you have registered with the CGFMU. So can we expect the like most of your unsecured portfolio will be covered under that? Or yes. So what's your plan there?
Yeah, as far as the first part is concerned, so we have seen Karnataka situation, and you must have seen the ordinance also, which excludes all the banks, all the REs actually. You know, the regulated entities of Reserve Bank of India have been excluded from that. And yes, there was some temporary challenge there, but it has been amicably or properly resolved. And we have not seen any after effect or any such effect of that situation across the country. Incidentally, we are not in the Karnataka belt. We have a very small portfolio through our BC partner, but otherwise we are not largely in South right now. It is through our BC partners only. We are largely, we are the northern and central belt, from the JLG perspective. But we have not seen any after effect or any effect of what happened in Karnataka. So that is one part. Secondly, yes, our large portfolio will get covered under this guarantee scheme. We are just evaluating each and every, unsecured book that we have got and which are covered under this scheme, because we have registered recently only. And most of the book which is unsecured and which is eligible under this guarantee scheme, we'll try to cover. But I think we are in the process of, doing that right now. But most of this will get covered, sir.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. We have the next one from the line of Vinay N. from Hathway Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening.
Hi, good evening.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Please go ahead.
A couple of questions. One was just to take the same point what the earlier questioner had asked. Because you have nearly 70% lending in Bihar and Uttar Pradesh. Now, are there certain districts there which are causing a problem, or where is this NPA suddenly hit us so badly in the last two quarters?
Okay, just to talk about this, I think Vivek can also add, but from my the way we have seen, whenever such things happen, see, it hits in some of the pockets. So we saw some of the pockets in our core geography got hit more than what it challenged in other places. So like in some of the pockets like Bhagalpur belt of Bihar, you can say, where it it was a bigger hit. Similarly, in Gorakhpur belt of Uttar Pradesh, where we got a bigger hit. Similarly, some pockets in Odisha and some pockets in Jharkhand also, where the hit was little higher than other places. So these four states are quite large states from our JLG portfolio angle. As a bank, may not be that those large in terms of overall lending book, but from the JLG, from the microfinance book, because historically we started from these geographies only, there the hit was little higher. And as I mentioned, to counter that, we have already put things in place, and we do expect that the way the normalization is happening, it should happen much faster, and we don't expect at least this to go beyond this now.
My second question is, what was the reason why there was such a large default? Was it something locally in those areas, or was it our collection efficiency that had dropped?
No, this was largely, as we all are aware, that this happened from the in the first week of August, when the new guardrails of MFIN got implemented, where the people who are having more than four loans were not eligible for any further loans. So I think there is a scarcity of credit. I mean, people are not getting credit. At an industry level, there may be around 13 to 15% such customers who are not eligible, and there is an impact of that. The impact was higher in some of the geographies and lower in some of the geographies. That does happen sometimes. So that's the only reason. I mean, you can say that's the trigger. Before that, the heat wave had a big impact this time. And even in these states, especially Uttar Pradesh and Bihar, the elections also, because elections happen in seven stages. Unlike in most of the states where it happens in one or two stages, in UP as well as in Bihar, it happened in seven stages. I think there was a prolonged period because of that. The field operations got a little disturbed during that period. Then there's a heat wave, and we had some flood situation also in some of the Bihar pockets. So that happened before the 1st August, and that got, you can say further triggered or further aggravated by the guardrails from the 1st of August 2024. I think these are the reasons, and that's why it has taken a little longer time. We had seen situation in past also, but that used to come back normal very quickly. This time there are series of reasons or series of things that happened, so it has taken a little longer time this time.
And you see these reasons now going away, because the guardrail is further getting tightened from 1st April, but will that have a significant impact in the FY26 numbers for provisioning, or you see some relief? Because more than 25% of your portfolio is with Utkarsh plus three lenders, is it?
Yeah, so as Sarju or CFO also mentioned that, whatever is the our stress currently, obviously will have an impact on quarter four also, because of the impact of that. But going forward, that's not the case. And second, the change of guardrail will not have major impact. There may be minor plus minus can be there, but not a major impact. Because, earlier what was the case? I mean, when we say 4 plus, sometimes there are people with 6, 7 or 8, lending also. In this case, the number is specific and people are aware. And you must have seen the disbursement have gone down significantly during last almost 6 months now. From 1st August, I think all the players are experiencing a 40 to 50% disbursement rate than the earlier rates, in fact. Everyone's portfolio has degrown. So I think these further tightening of guardrails, whatever was to be done from 1st January, that has already been done. You are aware of this, that. So for example, voter card is mandatory for each and every borrower. So all those things have been implemented by the industry and by us also. The only change which will happen from 1st April, PAN industry will be, not more than three lenders. And we don't foresee much impact of that.
Yeah, my last question is basically now going forward, as far as growing your revenues, while this stress will be there, and I'm sure you have a team who will be focusing only on that, but would you also have a team which will be focusing on growing your revenues, because your cost of funds has really come down quite nicely. If your yield on advances also go up now, you would have a much better cushion to bear these losses going forward. So is there any attempt to increase that, and how is it that you are planning? Is it geographically, are you wanting to expand in some other states where there is better credit quality, or what is the strategic thinking for FY26 and beyond?
So certainly, sir, and we'll come back obviously our guidance for 26 in our next call, but the way you mentioned, we are also strengthen our various non-JLG verticals also. JLG, we don't intend to expand too much. There will be a very moderated growth as far as JLG is concerned, but we have other verticals also, and there are some verticals where we are able to get good yields also. For example, we mentioned about the a used vehicle. So used vehicles gives me much better yield, and from 5% disbursement, we have already moved to around 20% disbursement last 4-5 months time. Micro LAP is giving us 18% plus, and this is a product app for our geography. When I say our geography, means our core area where we talk of UP and Bihar, Jharkhand and that belt. So I think we have also identified these products which we are focusing upon, and we expand these we will be able to expand and grow much faster in days ahead. So book will be secured more. I mean, this proportion of secured will be much higher. The yield, the blended yield will be, obviously, will be a little lower than what we have been doing in last few years, but it will not be significantly lower than what we have, done in past. And the credit cost or the credit quality is expected much better. And at the same time, our operating cost, structure will also get, will also get much better. So I think overall, in next 2 to 3 years' time, we should see a much, much better traction and trajectory.
One last thing. What about gold loans? Are you into that also?
Yes, we have started gold loan, and we intend to increase the disbursement and the book in next financial year.
How much would it be as a percentage in this results?
Currently, it's negligible. Maybe by next year, we'll like to make a book of 100 crore plus.
Thank you very much. Wish you all the best for future.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Sailesh from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everyone, and thanks for the opportunity. So I just wanted to understand first on the collection efficiency front. You said the Feb number is 99%. So can you just define that collection efficiency and also reconcile the collection efficiency number what we have mentioned in the slide 26 for the third quarter? That would be helpful to understand.
Okay, so the collection efficiency number which we have given on the presentation, that is collection efficiency for entire book. So that is for X bucket, SME as well as for NPA. So total collection during the month against the total demand. That is the collection efficiency which we have put in the presentation. The close to 99% X bucket collection efficiency is basically, let's say, accounts which were there at the end of the previous month, regular accounts. This is the X bucket collection efficiency for those accounts. So when we are saying, let's say, till February 15th, we had a close to 99% ex-bucket collection efficiency. This means that whatever accounts were regular at the end of 31st January, collection efficiency for those accounts is close to 99%.
Does that collection efficiency includes any prepayment, the 99%?
No, none of the two includes prepayments. Basically, it's all regular or only collection.
Okay, so if one EMI is due, one EMI paid, so that is 99%, right? That understanding is right.
That's right.
Okay, thanks. That's helpful. Continuing on this collection efficiency front, we have seen certain players changing the collection methods. They are going from monthly to fortnightly or weekly. Any plans from Express's side to do this as we have beefed up the collection team as well?
So I can take this question, we moved from weekly to fortnightly a long time back based on, you can see the efficiency, overall efficiency, operational efficiency, as well as customer convenience. And you are aware that in JLG, we are largely a semi-urban rural player. I mean, almost 80% of our portfolio comes from there. So our idea is to continue with this fortnightly. This is the most balanced way of doing it. So we don't have any plans of changing it from, currently, which is almost 90-91% is fortnightly. We intend to continue with fortnightly only, not to move to monthly or to weekly.
Okay. And so in terms of a bookkeeping question, what are the current yields on the disbursement of the JLG fund and individual loan fund, if you can give that number?
Sorry, I couldn't hear properly.
What are the yields on disbursement for the JLG and individual book?
Yeah, Puneet, you can take this. Yeah.
So for both individual and JLG, disbursement yield currently is 24%.
Okay. So last question from my side. Any timelines in terms of reverse merger? We have earlier guided about first half of FY26.
So we are on track there. To be the fact is that we already got an NOC from RBI. I think that's a good development. We also have got almost green signal from the two exchanges, who have in turn sent it to SEBI, and we are just now waiting for them to give their NOC. As far as the readiness to file their petition, I think everything is just on the table for a day or two or three at best after we receive SEBI. The way I look at it is that we are in fact on track to do this before March. It could be even earlier, before end of March. And therefore our anticipated date of completing the consummation of the reverse merger process early Q3 FY26 stands.
Okay. And sir, anything on the valuation? How will valuation be worked out?
Sorry, can you just repeat? We couldn't hear properly.
On the reverse merger, how that valuation will work out? Any numbers on that?
Oh, we have already announced the valuation numbers.
6.9 and it is 6.9 and X actually is the valuation. It's already in public domain now.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks. Sir, the last one question. This current collection efficiency is 99% for the month of Feb. How is that stack up say, to Feb 2024? Is it in line with what we were earlier before this current crisis?
Just one second.
Can you come again? Sorry, couldn't hear you properly.
Yeah. So basically, the collection efficiency for the month of Feb is around 99%. How would that be, say, 1 year back in Feb 2024?
So I don't have the precise number for Feb 24, but it should be closer to this level, right?
It was closer to same level. Somewhere around 99.23, something like that.
Okay, so we are reaching a normal collection efficiency in steady state of business. That is what I want to talk about.
Yeah, for X bucket.
Absolutely.
Okay. That's quite helpful. Thanks a lot, sir, and best of luck.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Purushottam, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, I am having only a small question. Though you are a private company for last so many years, now the listing in NSE and BSE took place just 2 years. I think it is January 23. So this visibility of a huge NPA successive quarters provision and all, it was not anticipated during your IPO issue, because most of the public investors are feeling like this NPA. Am I audible, sir?
Yeah, we can hear you. Please go ahead.
This visibility of getting so too much impacted by NPA was not, are you not aware of at the time of IPO, because many have taken share at the price of 50 and above 60 and all, and thinking that your EPS posting and normal metrics, we were thinking by this time share price would have shot up above 100. So now whereas it is hovering around 23-25 now. So is it not a hiding game you are playing? No, I am putting it in a blunt way.
No, absolutely, sir, absolutely. I mean, so I just want to clarify one that, we are in public domain for a long time. We may be listed company for recent time only. And you must have seen the track record of Utkarsh. And yes, there has been situation past also when suddenly the credit cost goes up. We have seen in demand time, we saw in the COVID time also. And as we just mentioned on this call, and if you see all the newspaper also, all the players, it's not specific to Utkarsh, it is specific to the, it is for the general industry, in fact. All the people who are into unsecured or in microfinance space,
they are... Sorry for the intervention. My question is, this successive two quarters...
I'll tell you, sir.
Or it was accumulated from so many years people might have defaulted so many years, even beyond.
Let me just complete.
Listing video. So that visibility you may be having, no? So that clarity, and when we go for an IPO, you should have cleared the book in a proper, transparent way and before IPO. See, IPO, you are tantamount to something you are hiding your NPS, your asset quality is not 100%. Am I right?
No, no, sir. That's what I'm trying to tell you, that there is nothing of that sort. Entire industry is facing it is not only Utkarsh. If you look at all the people who are in the JLG or microfinance space, they are facing this issue, and this got triggered from the 1st of August. So you see that there is a decline in the asset quality from 1st of August because of the changes the way regulations or the SRO is brought in. Even if you look at our March 24 numbers, our net NP was very close to zero actually. And our...
Your deterioration of collection efficiency and all is a recent development, or all these 400 odd crore you wrote off in the Q3 is not an accumulated thing right 2-3 years back on.
Not accumulated at all. In fact, if you are aware that, you know, our even the overall tenure of our loans are, especially for the JLG, the microfinance loans are 14 months, 24 months. So they are actually short-term loans only, you know, 24 months and 14 months. Okay. So the entire stress was built up during last 6 months only, and this is what is happening across. And we all are coming out of it. So there is no question of having any stress earlier which was not disclosed. There is no such question. And if you see our results for previous years and even March 24 also, there are no stress. This got caused from 1st of August because it changed the way the lending was, you know, changed. And we are must be seeing in other players also that there has been little stress in the system for unsecured and microfinance lending.
The point is, when the people to whom you are lended is defaulting, is it you are just leaving them away and detaching the compartment and moving, or you are making an effort to still, maybe your effect to the construction company, humor, maybe auction, that is one part. But why don't our internal arrangement itself to poke and try to extract maximum before auctioning the asset reconstruction company and all. So our collection efficiency improvement, what action you are contemplating now?
So you mentioned, sir, that we have, you know, strengthened normally in JLG or the microfinance, people normally do not have collection team. So now people have also put their collection team in place. We have also put a specific collection team in place. Even the portfolio that has been sold to ARC, we have taken the collection responsibility for that. And whatever are the benefits, that will also accrue to us. So it's not that the benefits will not accrue to us. So there has been a big focus on collections, and obviously we are, you know, aware of this fact that, you know, wherever there have been delinquencies or wherever there have been stress in the portfolio, that remains our top priority, and that's why you must have seen the growth rate has, at least for the JLG, has come down. And that is what we have been talking for some time, that we are now, there is a significant improvement. Obviously, it is yet to normalize. It is taking a little longer time, and those are the efforts. And I think we all are committed to that.
Once again. The growth rate, degrowth rate is understandable due to some RBI decision, more than four lenders, one cannot take one. Those are all understandable. But the thing is, all of a sudden, the NPA increase of successive quarters. See, what general investors think that once you have a massive NPA provisioning you make, so that means relevance. So then further 2 years, nothing will happen. So significant provisioning may not be there. That will be the general perception. But here, successive quarters you are making means something is eroding. That's what I feel. Because if this question I would not have asked, had you been a listed company for so many years. If you are listed just 2 years back, so your asset quality should have been, you should have cleared your book and came for IPO. See, IPO is a point where anybody begins, right? So with a gaseous book, you can start with IPO. So I think that this is an accumulated asset much before the IPO happened. If that is the case, you kindly don't leave the people. It's not like somebody take maybe small I mean, I'm not privileged to get to and all. But still, nowadays, Aadhaar and everything, that identity is a broken identity, people only will give. So, collection efficiency, you find out some mechanism and try to collect it. Because why it is failing, I'm holding 1.43 lakh shares. Originally, 71 lakh at 54 average I bought. Now, again, I have 29.4 to another 71, 72,000 I added. Now, I'm having 1.43 at the average of so something like that. So, it is really pain. I'm a small investor only. That's why I'm telling you that. Tell me.
So, sir, as I mentioned, this is not specific to Utkarsh. It is industry-level problem, and rest assured that we are, you know, top of it, and the full focus is right now on the collection and improving the collection efficiency.
That should be your prime focus now. Because degrowth due to RBI new regulation, this thing and all is understandable. But leaving the people aside for the non-payment and you are just leaving the department and the stock the department you carry means finally you will be left with in the note. Okay. Sorry.
I can only assure on behalf of that, you know, that we are, it is recent pain and the industry level pain, and we all are working towards, you know, it, and you'll see, you can see that, you know, there are certain improvement and we'll see further improvements in that.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Ashley Sonje from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the follow-up. Sir, one question on the operational side. When you do the KYC for the borrower, what are the different identification documents which you collect as of now? And has there been any change starting from January because of the new card rules?
Yeah, so there are, you know, in case of normal banking, there are what we call OVDs, you know, officially valid documents given by, as per the KYC norm. Specific to JLG customers, there are two documents which are mandatory. One is the Aadhaar card and second is the voter ID card. And the important part from what has happened from 1st January, in fact, because of that, some clients may not be able to get disbursement also. These are validated from the back end, you know, in both the cases. From the system, these are validated that these are correct ones. So now we are using, or that is again, as per the industry, everyone in the industry is using two documents. One is Aadhaar and second is the voter ID card. And these are getting validated also.
Okay, and what is the change which has happened specifically in the case of Utkarsh from January?
So voter ID card was not mandatory earlier. It has become mandatory, and not only mandatory, but it is also being cross-checked from the system that this is a valid one.
Understood. And what would be the incremental drop-offs because of the voter ID and its validation becoming mandatory?
Vivek.
Hello.
Vivek,
sorry.
Do you have got any specific number with you? I don't have exactly with me, but Vivek, it's a broad number.
It's a broad number, it's not a very calculated number, but roughly around 6 to 8% we are seeing additional increase of dropout.
Understood, sir. And just lastly, when you submit the, when you try to assess the borrower's leverage using data from the credit bureau, how does the credit bureau identify the borrower, as in based on what unique ID?
So basically, credit bureau identifies the borrower based on the voter ID card which we are submitting to the credit bureau. So since Aadhaar card number is not submitted to credit bureau, so they cannot identify the borrower through on the basis of Aadhaar card. And that's why across the industry, MPs has implemented that voter ID card is mandatory. And everybody is required to verify that voter ID card is valid, and obviously they have to submit also to the credit bureau.
Understood. Okay, so then it's a little confusing, because then if we were not taking voter IDs earlier, then for our customer set, if the voter ID is not available with us, how does the credit bureau end up identifying that borrower if we are not submitting voter ID or Aadhaar till December?
No, earlier also we were taking voter ID card, but we were not validating, or it was not mandatory. As per the RBI OBD rule, we are taking the documents. Obviously, Aadhaar card was there, and other OBD documents we were taking, and numbers were there. But since it has been post the implementation of Guardrail 2.0, we have made it mandatory, and we are collecting and we are validating through backend also.
And Ashish, if you see, usually the way bureaus run, it's not just, let's say, a voter ID number or Aadhaar number. It also, run with a multiple matches. So basically, there are multiple primary matches and secondary matches, which include name of the borrower, date of birth, father's name, mobile number, and so on. So basically, all of that also, they basically, let's say, see whether the borrower profile is matching to get the bureau report.
Okay, so in summary, it seems like the borrower identification process at the bureau level has become a lot better now, starting January, and that can lead to incremental rejections. Starting,
yes, it's become more stronger and stringent, actually, from that angle.
Yeah, but for us, actually, let's say, because we were already doing e-sign and eKYC, Aadhaar was on the mandatory document, now voter ID validation is also mandatory.
Understood. Perfect. Thanks a lot, sir. That answers my question.
Yeah, thanks, Ashish. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you, Renison team, for hosting this, and thanks everyone for joining our call. You have always been supporting, and yes, one of the segment of the bank, because banks multiple segment, but microfinance is passing through a tough phase right now, and we have seen certainly some improvements in the overall the way things are happening for microfinance also. And you have been always supporting Utkarsh, and you'll see that we are able to improve things much, much better from here. And once again, thanks for attending this call and always your support.
Thank you. On behalf of Utkarsh Small Finance Bank, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.